And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Last time out, he was enjoying the comforts of home in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We all knew, though, it wouldn't last, as our globetrotting correspondent continues his journey in providing you, the listener, with expert firsthand accounts of the mining hotspots of the world. And the mining hotspot this time out is Peru. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well in wintry and foggy Lima. Most people think this place is in the tropics, but with a Humboldt Current and the Andes and the Atacama Desert, it has a very foggy and smoggy, if you will, wintertime climate, cool and clammy.
Okay, well, I'm sure many people in North America right now, Mickey, wouldn't mind those cool temperatures, though, because as you know, we're baking up here. But you're in Lima, Peru right now, and this is a country that you know quite well. You have visited many mining properties over the years. In fact, you lived in that country for a time, so you're very familiar not only with the mining industry, but with life at street level. Provide us with your impressions of the country today and its political makeup, because it is certainly going through some very important changes.
Well, it certainly is. Peru, as most people will know, is in West Central South America, bordered on the north by Ecuador and Colombia, Brazil on the east, Bolivia on the Chile on the south and southeast, and then the Pacific Ocean on the west, which we just talked about, the cold Humboldt Current. It's a really old civilization. Most people know it was conquered by the Spanish basically for its gold and silver. Mm-hmm. It became independent in 1821 with gone through periods of political unrest and intervals of stability ever since. Population about 30 million. Very multi-ethnic here. Spanish is by far the most spoken language, but there are a couple of Indian languages that are very important in the Andes. Economy based on exports mainly, and that would be agricultural, fishing, mining, and manufacturing.
Okay, you mentioned periods of political instability on the area in the top, on rather on the topic of politics. We have a new president being elected in Peru. If you look on the political spectrum, Mickey, you'd have to say he's left leaning. What can you tell us about him and his policies?
Well, his name is Ollanta Humala, and he's a military general. He's an avowed leftist. It's very timely that we are doing this interview because I referred earlier, the Independence Day is July 28th, which is Thursday, and that's the day he takes office. Mm-hmm. He has a reputation of being a Chavista, if you will, Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, very left-leaning. But he was elected because he kind of assuaged his critics by softening of his left-wing rhetoric. There has been optimism expressed because he's kept the previous heads of the central bank and the finance minister. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that he does not control the Congress. In fact, his coalition party only controls 25% of the Congress. Mm-hmm. Now, he came out in the early part of the campaign with a very ambitious social program that was to be funded by basically raising taxes on miners in this country from 30% to 45% as a corporate tax rate. But the fact that he doesn't control the Congress, and also the fact that 60% of Peru's imports are from the mining industry, I think that he's going to be a moderate, or that's the hope right now. It's interesting, the honeymoon with Humala didn't last very long. It was 70% right after he was elected. It's already gone down to 40%.
Well, certainly for overall economic growth, Mickey, this is a country to keep an eye on. I believe it has South America's fastest growing economy, according to reports I've read. Within that economy, of course, is a mining industry that is the world's second largest producer of copper after Chile, also an important gold producer. So this is a really key industry to keep that economy moving, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and we only have to look at the geology to, geology to understand. Peru is on the subduction zone for the Andes, and whenever you have big cracks in the Earth's crust, then you're going to have mineral deposits. It has a very rich mining history, over 2,500 years, three or four cultures before the famous Incans, there's Peruvian jewelry. Mm-hmm. Very fast, the growing economy, fastest in South America. Here's an interesting factoid. In 2009, it exceeded the U.S. and became the third largest destination for exploration dollars behind only Canada and Australia. It's Latin America's number one producer of gold, silver, zinc, and lead, number mm-hmm. two in copper, tin, and moly. Produces significant iron ore, a little bit of tungsten. The mineral tenure system is quite good, very straightforward. Concessions cost $3 a hectare. They have a good geological information database. Land holdings are very transparent, but the only negative there would be the permitting process is, as we see, I think worldwide is becoming slower and slower.
Mm-hmm. Okay, some very impressive numbers that you outlined for us there, Mickey. I'm wondering, at the same time, is this an industry that is getting close to its full potential in Peru? Is it getting close to being maxed out? Or do you think there's a lot of untapped potential still in this country?
Oh, I most definitely think there's very high untouched potential, basically because this is a very remote, inaccessible country with very poor infrastructure and compounded by very high altitudes. One third of the country is greater than 3,000 meters. You basically have a coastal desert, which is an extension of the Atacama. Then you have the giant Andes, and then you have the Amazon basin. So it's very hard to get around. It's hard country to explore. So there are many, many projects in development like right now. I can count on more than one hand, in fact, six major copper plus or minus gold projects. Mm-hmm. So it has immense potential. The taxation rates are reasonable, 1 to 3% NSR corporate tax rate, which we've already talked a bit about at 30%. VAT at 19, that's high, but that's refundable for exploration. So everything that I've just talked about is very positive for further discoveries and developments in Peru.
Okay, positive for further developments and discoveries in that country in the mining industry, but at the same time, the political backdrop, does that weigh on the positive side just a little bit? Does it raise additional questions within the mining world?
Well, it certainly does, and it comes down to social responsibility here and getting a local community on board. Peru has a very negative history over the last, say, 10 or 15 years with specific projects in specific regions of the country that have been stopped cold because of opposition from local communities, mm-hmm. So oftentimes violent. And it comes from a perception, and this is still a very poor country, estimated one-third of the people are under the poverty rate. Now, that's gone down considerably. There's a rapidly growing middle class over the last 10 years, but the perception from the subsistence agricultural community is often that mining destroys water quality and uses too much water. Mm. So if you're going to operate in Peru, probably the biggest challenge is potential social issues with local communities. So companies that have been very proactive and build infrastructure for local communities. Mm-hmm. I started here in 1997, and there were very few places with reliable water supplies or sewage systems or even really passable dirt roads. So that's changing. But if you're going to Peru, I suggest that you stay out of the extreme north, in Cajamarca province, where there is almost universal opposition to mining. Mm-hmm. And then also a hotbed lately has been the extreme southeast part of the country in Puno, and that's made some news lately.
Okay, but overall, you know, it only takes a few rotten apples, I guess, in the barrel to give everybody kind of a bad name. And I think it's pretty safe to say, Mickey, that the vast majority of mining operations in Peru are greeted, are welcomed by the local communities, aren't they? And I mean, this is an industry. Oh. This is an industry that creates a lot of jobs. I've read 126,000 people directly employed through mining in Peru, 700,000 jobs indirectly. That's a pretty big number for a country that size.
Well, it certainly is. It's a very important part of the economy. Companies that are responsible generally and choose areas where they're welcome are very successful here. And it just comes down to, well, let's review one fact here. Mm-hmm. The mining industry is very committed to Peru, the exploration industry, with number three in exploration dollars last year. Mm-hmm. So all in all, a great place to find a mineral deposit, relatively unexplored. And it's a country that I love about 80% or 90%, probably 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. And then I get frustrated by the bureaucracy and inefficiency and probably intensely hate it about 10% of the time. Mm-hmm. But overall, Rob, it's a pretty good place.
Okay, not a bad way to wrap this one up. Next time out, Mickey, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to focus on?
Well, I'm going to Chile next, so I figure we'll go to one of the best mining venues in the country and discuss Chile.
Okay. Thanks very much for this, Mickey. Take care and travel safe.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.